Today is Thursday, November 27th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Thanksgiving 2025 in America. Misery for workers, unprecedented wealth for the elite, by Tom T. Hall. Thanksgiving in the United States is taking place under conditions of deepening social and political crisis. For the vast majority of the population, there is nothing to be thankful for. The scenes of abundance and social harmony, painted by Norman Rockwell in the middle of the 20th century, always an idealized fiction, stand in stark contrast to a society in 2025 at the breaking point, dominated by a ruling class unmoored from reality. A review of the basic social indices produces an image of a bankrupt social order. According to the most recent government figures, 1 in 7 Americans in 2023 were food insecure, with the rate 1.5 times higher for children. The situation has only worsened due to the cutoff of food stamps, of which 42 million people rely, combined with $180 billion in additional cuts over the next decade, that will reduce or eliminate eligibility for half of all recipients. The government has recently announced it will make all beneficiaries re-enroll, supposedly to combat fraud, throwing millions into uncertainty. The impact of these cuts and the government shutdown is already devastating. The Houston area Superfeast Thanksgiving charity event, which normally feeds 25,000 people, expects double the normal attendance this year. A New York Times article on food security in Middletown, Ohio, where Vice President J.D. Vance grew up, quoted one worker, quote, "I actually had a customer who had not received their SNAP ask for credit in tears," unquote. Another resident dealing with brain cancer was forced to strip down her Thanksgiving meal to turkey, mac and cheese, and potatoes. Meanwhile, prices continue to climb. The U.S. Retail Association predicts holiday spending will surpass $1 trillion for the first time, but the primary driver is not an increase in the quantity of goods purchased. It is a relentless rise in prices. But a separate Deloitte survey found that overall spending will decline by 10%, with the sharpest drop among the poor. Holiday consumer confidence is at historic lows, with 57% predicting the economy will weaken in the next 6 months, the highest figure since 1997. CNN is reporting on the K-shaped holiday season, in which spending is driven almost entirely by high-income purchasers. A major factor in the rising prices is the impact of tariffs. These regressive taxes are borne by importers and passed directly on to consumers through higher prices, hitting workers the hardest. The government's response to the social reality is simply to cover it up. In September, the U.S. Department of Agriculture suddenly announced it would no longer issue its annual food insecurity report, calling it, quote, "subjective liberal fodder that does, quote, nothing but fearmonger," unquote. The White House is also refusing to release the full October unemployment report, citing the shutdown as a pretext. This is an expression of the callousness of the ruling class as a whole, not merely the Trump administration. To cut $8 billion a month from food stamps, the fate of tens of millions is being thrown into turmoil. Meanwhile, the ruling elite is engaged in a massive accumulation of wealth. 10 billionaires increased their wealth by $700 billion this year. Elon Musk received a new $1 trillion pay package at Tesla. Larry Ellison became $100 billion richer in a single day, enough to fund the entire food stamp program for a year. A U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, study released last December found more than 770,000 people sleeping unhoused on a single night, the highest number ever recorded. This social catastrophe is driven by stagnant wages and ever-increasing rents. At the same time, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos owns about $700 million in residential properties, including three mansions in the same Florida neighborhood. When he tires of those, he can relax on his $500 million superyacht. This wealth comes from value expropriated from the working class. As Karl Marx explained, accumulation of wealth at one pole is therefore, at the same time, accumulation of misery, agony of toil slavery, ignorance, brutality, mental degradation, at the opposite pole, that is, on the side of the class that produces its own product in the form of capital. To the extent that these staggering sums of wealth have any basis in real value and not merely financial swindling, it lies in the ruthless intensification of exploitation imposed on the working class. The deployment of AI, technology with the potential to dramatically increase the productivity of labor, is being used instead to eliminate whole sections of the workforce. Mass layoffs have reached 1.1 million this year. The past month was the worst October for job cuts in two decades. HP announced 6,000 layoffs this week. Apple is laying off salespeople. Layoffs of 13,000 at Verizon have begun. While white-collar workers face displacement by AI, tens of thousands of blue-collar workers are also being thrown out of work. UPS, the auto industry, and logistics companies are eliminating jobs on a massive scale. Hundreds of thousands of workers cannot afford basic necessities, and now also face the threat of losing their jobs during the holidays. Other dimensions of the crisis include the deliberate undermining of basic safety measures, producing an unending series of deadly industrial disasters. The deaths of postal workers Nick Acker and Russell Scruggs Jr., the UPS plane crash in Louisville, the explosion at the Tennessee munitions plant, the list goes on. Alongside this is the promotion of ignorance and backwardness as the ideological cover for dismantling the basic infrastructure of modern society. Ralph Abraham, former Surgeon General of Louisiana and now appointed deputy head of the CDC, previously halted all mass vaccinations in the state. The ruling class is also preparing for war to conquer markets, supply chains, and raw materials. There are increasing calls in the press for the U.S. to dramatically expand production of missiles, ships, and advanced weaponry for a conflict with China, treated as all but inevitable. At home, the preparations for dictatorship are advancing rapidly. Trump threatened congressional Democrats with execution for issuing a statement calling on soldiers to refuse illegal orders. While the political establishment hints at military conspiracies inside the White House, it does nothing to warn the population or mobilize opposition. Mass opposition is precisely what they fear most. This is being carried out with active assistance of the trade union bureaucracy, significant sections of whom have flocked to Trump in support of his trade war policies. Seeking to scapegoat foreigners for job cuts they have helped carry out, they falsely claim these measures will save American jobs. In fact, they have paved the way for even deeper layoffs and rising cost of living. The reality is that society can progress no further while burdened by the capitalist profit system. The critical question is the movement of the working class, guided by an international socialist perspective, to smash the power of the oligarchy and fight for workers' power. There is a growing resistance in the working class, expressed in the response to the investigations into working conditions by the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, or IWARFC, the growing resistance to immigration raids, and in other forms of opposition. Workers are seeking an explanation and a program around which to fight. This opposition requires a political perspective. Inequality is rooted in capitalism and oligarchic rule. The wealth of society must be expropriated from the capitalist class and placed under the democratic control of the working class. Rank-and-file committees and the IWARFC provide the means for organizing this struggle, completely independent of the two corporate parties. Thanksgiving is not a moment for gratitude, but for protest, for the development of a movement to end oligarchic domination and reorganize society on socialist foundations. Thank you. Italy's general strikes against the 2026 budget of austerity and war by Mark Wells. Italy's proposed 2026 budget law has provoked a wave of opposition that is coalescing into two national general strikes, the first led by the base unions USB, CUB, SGB, COBAS, small ostensibly left and militant formations, on November 28th and 29th, followed by a separate strike called by the much larger CGIL trade union on December 12th. The confrontation unfolding in Italy is a political eruption of the working class against a government steering the country into austerity and militarism. The fascist Meloni government's draft budget is a declaration of war on the Italian and international working class. Modeled after Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, it is crafted to restructure the economy toward war spending, corporate profit, and authoritarian rule. At its core is the massive diversion of public resources from wages, essential services, and social protections into a multi-year rearmament program aligned with the European Union's Rearm Initiative and NATO's strategic directives. Tens of billions of euro are stripped from healthcare, education, pensions, and local services to meet military spending targets dictated by Brussels and Washington. Workers are being compelled to finance a war drive they overwhelmingly oppose. The bill simultaneously deepens labor precarity by expanding subcontracting, deregulating hiring, and incentivizing employers to replace stable employment with short-term low-wage jobs. It accelerates privatization of public assets, handing infrastructure and services to corporate and financial interests. Every measure guarantees new revenue streams for speculators while raising costs and reducing access for the population. The budget expands repressive legislation, criminalizing protests, increasing police powers, and tightening controls on dissent to suppress the inevitable resistance to the social devastation it creates. It is a mechanism for offloading the crisis of capitalism onto the working class, while preparing the economic and legal architecture for war. The working class has responded with anger and determination. Earlier this month, the base union's National Assembly of Cadres and Delegates issued a mandate for a national general strike on November 28th, 29th. On this basis, USB, CUB, and other rank-and-file unions formally proclaimed the November 28th strike across all public and private sectors. USB and the base unions have framed their strike as a militant anti-austerity action centered on wage recovery, defense of public services, opposition to war spending, and rejection of the government's social and economic policies. USB and CUB issued political indictments of the 2026 budget and the broader war agenda. Both denounced the shift of resources from wages and essential services to rearmament, and condemn Italy and the EU for backing Israel's genocide in Gaza. They oppose the conversion of industry and research to military purposes, the movement of arms through ports, and the expansion of repressive laws to silence dissent. The budget, they declare, loots workers' futures through privatizations, subcontracting, and a planned 22 billion euro surge in military spending, serving corporate and imperialist interests at the expense of the working class. The CGIL, Italy's largest union, has intervened nearly a week later with a separate and intentionally misaligned general strike planned for December 12th. CGIL's action is narrowly focused on the budget law, with demands concerning wages, tax justice, public health, education, pensions, precarious work, and industrial policy. This platform corresponds to CGIL's long-standing institutional campaign for modest amendments to the finance bill. Its aim is to contain workers' anger within state-approved channels and preserve the union's role within the government apparatus. CGIL is working to redirect the growing opposition back into appeals to the very government imposing austerity and militarization. Italy's unrest is part of an international wave of resistance. Across Europe, workers face the same basic program, slashing social protections increasing the burden on ordinary people, and diverting massive funds toward militarization. In Belgium, a general strike was called for November 26 against pension cuts, abolished wage indexation, and benefit reductions, while the government raises military spending to meet NATO's 2% target. In Portugal, a national strike on December 11th opposes draconian labor reforms under a right-wing government backed by the fascistic Chega party, even as Portugal commits to raising military spending to 5% of GDP by 2035. These protests are rooted in a broader crisis. European governments are using the NATO-Russia war as a geopolitical cover and economic justification for austerity and rearmament. They are treating the war as an opportunity to accelerate a social counter-revolution, increase police powers, repress dissent, and make workers pay for the warmongering ambitions of their ruling classes. Italy's budget is aligned with this trajectory. Its planned increase in defense spending reflects the broader NATO logic. In this sense, the USB and CGIL strikes are not only industrial actions. They are protests against Italy's deepening role in imperialist war and the systematic impoverishment of the working class. The upcoming general strikes follow a major eruption of working class opposition in Italy earlier in 2025, when mass protests broke out against Italy's complicity in the genocide in Gaza. In September and October, tens of thousands took to the streets in more than 75 cities. Transport networks were disrupted, schools shut down, and port workers refused to load or unload arms shipments. This movement forced the union bureaucracies to call for mass actions, revealing the explosive potential of rank-and-file mobilization. The anger has not dissipated. It is flowing into opposition to the 2026 budget in the broader fight against militarism. What is emerging in Italy is the initial stages of a world revolutionary crisis. Across Europe, right-wing governments are intensifying austerity, militarization, and repression. The ruling classes are preparing for war abroad and class confrontation at home. Workers are beginning to push back. The greatest obstacle remains the union bureaucracies. The CGIL acts as an instrument to contain and disarm the working class. USB and CUB, despite their militancy, remain limited by a national framework and by leaderships tied to anarchist, Stalinist, and bureaucratic traditions that cannot break decisively with the capitalist order. Their demands, however radical, deliberately avoid an open class struggle to overthrow the Meloni government and expand the fight to other countries. None of the problems facing Italian workers are Italian. Their root is the world crisis of capitalism. The working class must reject all nationalist framing of the struggle, all negotiations with the government, and all attempts by the union apparatus to limit the scope of the fight. An international network of independent workers' committees, democratically controlled and coordinated, must be built in every workplace. These bodies, not union leaderships, can unify the struggle against austerity, against militarism, and against the capitalist system that generates both on the basis of a strategy for state power. Internationalism cannot be reduced to symbolic appearances by public figures or to the cosmetic language of parties that operate entirely within national boundaries. The participation in the strikes by individuals such as Greta Thunberg, Francesca Albanese, Roger Waters, or Yanis Varoufakis does not in itself give the movement an international character. Varoufakis in particular, responsible for Syriza's historic betrayal and the social catastrophe it produced in Greece, symbolizes precisely the adaptation of pseudo-left forces to the dictates of European capitalism. The path forward for workers in Italy, Belgium, Portugal, Greece, and across Europe lies in a unified struggle to overthrow the social order that imposes austerity and war. Either the working class confronts the capitalist war machine and its political representatives, or it will be forced to pay for the next stage of imperialist conflict in blood. The general strikes of November 28th and December 12th mark an important step in this developing confrontation. Their ultimate significance and their success will depend on whether workers seize the initiative, break free from bureaucratic control, and advance a genuine international socialist strategy against war and inequality. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.